Click on the end of the year special. Use my promo code USA to get two premium MyPillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Dirk Nowitzki has been playing for the Dallas Mavericks since before MySpace was created. The 14-time All-Star has been around the league long enough to see the explosion of social media and the effect it's had on NBA players. Nowitzki told a sports writer that he doesn't know if players care as much these days about winning as opposed to looking good on Instagram. Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, was at South by Southwest this weekend. He spoke on the topic.
I think we live a bit in the age of anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's I've read studies on this. I think part of it is a direct product of social media.
Yes.
And I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy. If you're around a team in this day and age, their headphones on, they're isolated, and their head down.
Larry Winget is a pit bull of personal development. He joins Fox News and says NBA players, they're not the only ones with issues regarding social media.
That applies to everybody in society right now. Isn't it amazing that we used to judge players by how many points they're scored, and now they judge themselves by how many likes they get and how popular they are? Really, that's a sad commentary on society, that we've gotten to the point where popularity is how we measure our own success and validate ourselves. What happens when we're no longer the flavor of the day, or when somebody else can post a more provocative or sexy or just more posts in general to get more likes? I think it's sad.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon. And the weather today is going to be sunny with a high near 51, west winds around 16 miles an hour, with gusts as high as 26 miles an hour. Tonight it'll be mostly clear with a low around 29, west winds 8 to 10 miles an hour. Tuesday will be sunny with a high near 41, and northwest winds 8 to 11 miles an hour. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 24, and northwest winds 3 to 6 miles an hour. Wednesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 46 actually, and calm winds becoming south around 5 miles an hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night will be mostly cloudy with a low around 32.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and this is NAMI's hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers, work out of our houses, and I've been told that the commute from the kitchen to the family room is really great in the morning. And what we try to do is we try to help people who have a mental health issue or someone in their family that may have it or someone they know, work with, a neighbor. And also we try to help the person with the mental health issue get the care that they need. We do this in numerous ways. One of the ways we do it is what was called a family-to-family class. And a family-to-family class is a 12-week course which tries to get the person taking the course to feel what it's like to be the individual with the illness. And it's for family members or, like I said, if you know someone, work someone, cousins to someone, whatever. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to take the class. And it is totally free. There is no charge for any of the material, the binders, anything like that. We also run a monthly support group, which is held on the third Thursday of every month. And it is at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. And the You don't have to be a member of NAMI again. And everything there is totally confidential. So if you have any questions and you know, something you want to find a little bit more about, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24/7, but we do have a lady who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise you we will get back to you just as quickly as possible. Today we are very privileged to have Travis Manrique, is it?
Manrique.
Who is a program director for the Center of Wellness in, is it Monroe or Brick?
Monroe.
Okay. Now, Travis has a bunch of letters after his name, so what we're going to do is we're going to go MA, I'm assuming, is a master's.
Yes.
Okay. LPC, licensed practical?
Licensed professional
counselor. Professional counselor, okay. NCC?
The nationally certified counselor.
Okay. And ACS? Okay. Wow. All right. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to come up here. You know, I mean, you're down in Monroe, and it's not around the corner.
It's a little of a drive.
Yeah, it's a little of a drive, yes. But I did not make the connection at first when we were talking and everything. But Dr. Singh, as I mentioned earlier, I know and has been on the show a couple times, you know. So it's, you know. Dr. Singh was, I believe, the founder of the center, and yeah, right. Let me ask you, Travis, why were you drawn to the field of psychology, and you know, what is your exact role at the center?
Okay, I think the easier question is my exact role at the center first.
Okay.
So I'm actually both the program director for the clinical services and also the program administrator, making sure that the day-to-day stuff about the center runs.
Okay.
So I'm kind of a little bit of everything there. So a program director really kind of oversees the clinical services of the program. So the group therapy, the individual therapy, any family sessions that occur, any intakes.
Okay.
I also, you know, really oversee the phone calls to the center, clients who want to come, any questions family members have. That all kind of is my responsibility. So I've been doing that for about a year now at the center, but I also have experience overseeing other programs.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Would you explain your therapeutic, was it modalities, that you sometimes focus on to help people?
Yeah, I'll tie it into also the first question you asked me about what's really drawn me to psychology. I mean, I think there's a little cliche about it. Some people say that when they were younger, their friends would come to them a lot and be like, what's my problems? And I remember walking around the track and field during gym class. We would sometimes do power walking. And,
mm-hmm.
There would be times when, you know, my peers would come to me and just, they just want to talk. They just want to,
right.
I'm not sure why, they just kind of did. And that's kind of where my wanting to help people started. I also took
okay.
a psychology class in high school, and I really liked it. And then when I went to college at Rutgers, I kind of just picked a few classes in psychology to see if I was going to enjoy it even more.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I was also looking into nutrition and, you know, all that, so I decided to go the psychology route.
Okay.
Some personal reasons, I guess. I'm not so good at the science and math, so I kind of guided me towards psychology.
Yeah.
So, modality-wise, when at least in my experience, for a lot of people, when you go to school, they kind of just teach you basics about psychology.
Okay.
But they are not really so great at telling you exactly how to get someone to
okay.
change. So, it wasn't really till after graduate school that I got further training in cognitive behavioral therapy and rational emotive behavior therapy from the Albert Ellis Institute
okay.
in New York City. And then I really kind of connected the two things together between what I was taught in school and my further training about how to, especially particularly for depression and anxiety, how to help a person who's kind of having difficulty in those areas.
Right, right. And what exactly is a center for wellness? I mean, you know, who does it serve? And, you know.
Yeah, so right now we are kind of growing, but the center is focused kind of in two major areas right now. One is the adult program, so anyone over the age of 18 years old and who is struggling with a primary mental health diagnosis.
Okay.
So they might be have a lot of people hit there for major depressive disorder, anxiety disorder, panic disorder, but also bipolar disorder. So we kind of have a open group.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if you have a primary mental health diagnosis, that will kind of be assessed during the intake.
Okay.
And then if everything's, you know, agreed on, we can maybe talk about some of the barriers of mental health.
Right.
If those barriers really can be addressed, if any, then the clients would start the program as soon as possible. And that kind of contains the group therapy portion, the individual therapy portion, and also access to Dr. Singh.
Right, right.
For the medication piece.
Do you do anything with alcohol or drugs?
So one of the things that we do offer is something called dual diagnosis.
Okay.
They have to really have their primary issue be a mental health issue.
Right.
So, but a lot of times people, they don't know where to turn, right? And they sometimes turn to alcohol or marijuana, more popularly
right.
those two.
Right.
But they're kind of primarily using to try to cope with their symptoms. So if that's the case, we will kind of try to work with the person. We do, you know, kind of believe in the abstinence model while they're there.
Right.
But we'll try to give them some time to kind of wean themselves off or not really engage in those substances while they're in the program. If they can't, then we'll find them maybe a primary substance abuse
right.
program.
Program to do first.
Right. Yeah, to do first. And if they wanted to come back to then focus
then
on
could.
Their mental health.
Yeah,
yeah we... That does happen on occasion.
Unfortunately, right?
Particularly for marijuana, people have, I guess, the whole other discussion about where the state's going with that and where the whole culture
yeah,
of marijuana
right.
is going with that.
Right.
But it's highly used for self-medication purposes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So also the other population that we serve is the adolescent population. So that's anyone under the age of 18, or they can be 18 as long as they're enrolled in high school.
Okay.
And it's kind of the same modality just after school. So it'd be
mm-hmm.
Mondays,
right.
Wednesdays, Thursdays.
What is it?
Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays.
Okay.
From 3:30 to 6:30.
Okay. And that's for the adolescents?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
The adult program is Monday through Friday.
Okay.
And they can attend either three of those 5 days or all 5 days.
Now, just something just popped into
yeah,
my
sure.
head. Someone reaches out to you. Do you screen them first before you accept them into the program? Or are they just automatically accepted?
Yeah.
Or are they recommended, you know, if they're recommended by their doctor or a psychiatrist
mm-hmm.
or something like that for the program?
Yeah. So everyone who's before they start, everyone has to have a intake, which does the
okay.
biosocial
right.
psych assessment,
right.
and then from there we really see if someone is a fit for the program. Center for Wellness is for profit, but we're also not like salesmen, where anyone who walks through the door, you know,
right.
we say sit here
right.
and start the program.
Right.
You know, it has to be the right fit for
fit.
Them,
right?
And maybe they. Because a lot of the phone calls we actually do get are from concerned family members,
mm-hmm.
Friends, and maybe they want them to come more than they want to come.
Right.
Or they don't understand, and they kind of just got told by the family member, oh, all we want you to do is just come here and talk to this person. And then once I'm talking to them, or once my other licensed counselors are talking to them, we tell them about the program, right? Because we're mostly
right.
a mental
right.
health program. And they said, oh, no. You know, I thought I was just getting one individual therapy session.
Right.
You know, so sometimes
right.
family members and friends, for their best, you know, maybe interest in mind.
Sure.
Just say,
sure.
oh, just one appointment. Just come talk to them. And they don't tell them who we actually are. So that's why it has to be a fit. Everyone
right.
has to kind of agree. Something called
right.
the informed consent
right.
has to be signed.
Right.
We tell them all the details they need to know about the program, including the insurance, the pricing,
mm-hmm.
all that beforehand.
Right.
So they're not like, it's hard enough, right, to go
right.
through what they're going through rather than being blindsided by
But you do take you take Medicare or Medicaid?
We don't.
Okay.
So we're for a private mental health, private insurances, Horizon, Cigna, United.
Right.
We're trying with Aetna, but that's another barrier discussion, I guess. Not even, you know, being a center and having qualified people to help others is enough for some insurance companies.
Mm.
They have all these special rules and regulations that say whether or not you're the cool kid to be a part of their network.
Mm-hmm.
And then if someone calls and they're like, I have this insurance, we have to tell them we'd be out of network, and that they might not have out of network benefits. So it's sometimes challenging to the person wants to help. We want to help them. They're a right fit diagnoses wise, but the other factors don't add up. Like the insurance or the finances.
Yep. It's the way it is sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged to have with us today, Travis Manrique.
Manrique.
Yeah. Well, one out of two isn't bad. And Travis is from the Center for Wellness in Monroe Township, and he's the program director. And we've been talking about some of the things that are involved with getting cleared to become part of a program.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just curious what a typical day would be like for, we can start with the adolescents under 18.
Okay.
What's a typical day for them like when they come in after school?
Yeah, so one of the things I've always wanted is, because it's a long day for the teens in that they have to wake up early, go to school, and then if they wanted to come to the center after school, not to make it another like extension of school, mm-hmm. right? So obviously, right. there's no grades in therapy, but I don't want it to ever feel like another authority figure to just give them. Well, this is what it has to. This is what the day is going to look mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. Sit down, be quiet, follow the rules. So we really want to get them to be comfortable. So really, something that we do in both of the populations is the check-in group, where they can really just talk about how their day has been so far, how they're feeling, if they have any questions or right. concerns, right. if they need to maybe see the doctor or therapist for the day, just so we can like kind of break the ice. And we, you know, start on an approximate, right? It's not like we have, you know, late slips or anything, mm-hmm. no, attention. Right. So right. Just to kind of get the teen relaxed and ready to do the therapy program. And that's why it's a little bit different. So we'll get into the adults, but the adults, after their check-in group, they actually have something called skill group, which is they learn about mental health management, kind of okay. the skills that maybe we can talk about more. Mm-hmm. But for the teens, I didn't want that. I didn't want them to just come off, you know, to here
right.
and then start learning about mental health. It almost is like an extension again of school. So they actually have the adult second group first, called process group. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like an open time for them to talk whatever they right. want to talk about.
Right.
You know, share their thoughts and feelings about the day, relationships, family, questions they may have. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And just kind of really open-ended discussion for them. Maybe they can also connect with the other teens in the group about how they're feeling so that they don't feel alone.
Right.
Which is a really major factor in group therapy.
Yeah.
And then we'll take a break, and then we'll have the skill group, which could have a variety of things, maybe problem solving, assertiveness, those CBT skills mm-hmm. that I mentioned. So they can start maybe thinking, feeling, acting a little bit differently
right.
to help them.
Right.
And, you know, while these two groups are happening, they may meet with their individual therapist or Dr. Singh can pull them out okay. for their medication session. So it's all okay. really happening in the hours that they're there.
Okay.
Nothing
right. Right.
additional that they'd have to commit mm-hmm. to.
Right.
So for the adults, that more happens during the day.
Right.
In the future, I would like to have a evening program for people who maybe are working or have commitments during the day, but have, you know, time for therapy in the afternoon,
mm-hmm. right.
in the evening. That's probably something that the center is going to have in the future, just not yet. So the adult program is actually in the morning, 10 a.m. To about 3:30, or the half day, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So I'll do the IOP program, the intensive outpatient program, which we talked about levels of care. Maybe people aren't even knowledgeable of what that is, right? Some people think therapy is only outpatient, one session or two sessions a week with their therapist, one session with their doctor, maybe once every 30, 60, 90 days, and that's the only options they have. Well, maybe besides the hospital.
Right.
But there's actually these intermediate levels of care. One of them is called intensive outpatient, and they can attend 3 up to 5 days a week in a therapy program. Which is a lot more, you know, in-depth, trying to take a look at their symptoms so they can stabilize their symptoms so they could stay out of the hospital or get back to their seeing their therapist only
right.
once a week.
Right. And the strengths of the partial hospitalization and the intensive outpatient compared to the other popular levels of care, popular, you know, quote unquote,
right.
outpatient medical management, outpatient individual care. What is the...
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll start with the outpatient individual therapies since I do have a private practice as well. And some clients do really well there.
Okay.
I see them maybe once a week. I see some maybe twice a week if it's more intensive.
Mm-hmm.
I might see one every other week, which is a
okay.
very, very popular level of care and outpatient individual. But I also can check in with them at once every 3 weeks or once a month before they leave, right? Before they're feeling well enough to terminate therapy.
Okay.
So a lot of people, that's all they need, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for some, that one kind of therapeutic experience per week is not enough. They're really struggling, and they really need that, especially for people who are struggling with depression and anxiety. They really would benefit from the structure of a program, getting up, having somewhere to go, having people to ask them how their day is, getting people to facilitate, you know, family sessions or can really help the person kind of behaviorally activate is kind of the term in CBT to feel better. You kind of have to do more sometimes, even when it's really difficult to do so. And an individual therapist can't really do that. You know, even if it's twice a week,
right?
It's still, I'll see you in a couple of days rather than I'll see you tomorrow and I'll see you after that and I'll see you after that.
Right.
So that's one of the advantages of IOP. Also for PHP, the partial hospitalization program, the advantage there is that it's still outpatient. You don't have to go inpatient to a hospital and stay there, which is can be very difficult for people, not only costly, maybe even if they do even have insurance, where they're there, you know, most of the day in the afternoon, Monday through Friday, and it can really provide that structure almost as if they're working, like their job.
Okay.
And it almost can serve as that gap in between because maybe they're not working or they take a break. We have a lot of people taking a break from work who are currently on disability or just taking a break from work. And that then becomes their structure. So that's, again, something that really can't be replicated at the outpatient level of therapy.
Right.
Although, again, for some people, it's great. And they never enter a program. They don't need a program. And, again, those people are not really a fit.
But it doesn't always work for everyone, you know.
Right.
And that's, you know, that was with everything, you know. So, all right, what makes the center special as compared to the other similar programs that might be larger or more well-known?
Yeah, and so that's what I said before the radio show started. I'm not going to name names, right? But in my past experience, right, some of maybe the larger programs, one of their limitations is that sometimes clients or patients become numbers, census numbers, where it's just like, we need you to fill this seat, and we have these maximum amount of seats. And because we're so large, we have a lot of working pieces, a lot of expenses.
Right.
I understand that.
Right.
But it's like, you'll see your therapist at this time in this, you know, place, and that's it, right? The special needs that we were talking about at the check-in group don't really get addressed sometimes. Clients don't get to be seen as often. So sometimes a few people may fall through the cracks. But we're not...
Sometimes more than a few.
Yeah, maybe I'm being modest, but I kind of joke about it sometimes that we're not necessarily in the field of making hamburgers, right? Where if you drop one, we're like, well, that's an unfortunate product loss.
Right.
What can we do better next time? We're dealing with people's lives.
Right.
So even if one person fell through the cracks, if they're depressed, anxious, have bipolar, that could lead to a ripple effect.
Sure. Of, absolutely.
You know, big proportions. So I'm not saying the center is perfect, but we really want to strive on making sure that does not happen for anyone, regardless of our census size.
Right.
So because we're smaller and growing, it is, I guess, honestly, more easier for us to put all that attention into each client.
And adjust as need be.
Adjust as need be, exactly.
Right.
And that's, I mean, obviously, ethically, it's what you're supposed to be doing. But again, sometimes I've been a part of past programs where things are stretched a bit to fit the demands.
Yeah.
And that's I guess a whole other, you know,
that's another story.
Yeah.
And you know, we were talking a little bit earlier before the show. I'm familiar with a lot of this because I've been dealing with it for the last 20 years.
Okay.
With my son, who thank God is now very good and considered a success story by all the doctors and people that know him at the hospital.
That's great.
He's had his own apartment for the last 7 years.
Wow, okay.
In Flemington here. He works, this month is his fourth year that he's been working at BJ's. And he volunteers one day a week at the hospital.
Awesome.
And he takes his meds religiously. So, you know, it was a tough going. He spent almost 3 years in state hospitals continuously.
Wow.
And when he got out of the last time, he was in and out more times than we care to count. And, you know, it's like anything else. It's a matter of trying to get the right combination of medication. He's been epileptic since he's five, so a lot of times the epilepsy medication would interfere with the psychotic and vice versa, and it was like, you know, I can't even begin to tell you how bad it was. But thank God, right now, you know, everything is normal, put it that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, he takes his meds religiously because he's been taking meds since he's five. All he wants to know now is why this particular one we're changing or we're increasing or decreasing. That's all, which is fine. Most people want to know that too, you know, when you're on that. So, you know, I understand a lot of what we're talking about because of my own experience. And, you know, like I said, it's not easy for someone who has a mental health issue to A, admit they have one,
right?
B, seek help for it because of the stigmas and such that it's involved, and also the cost if they don't have insurance or they don't have, you know, where do they go, who do they see, that sort of thing. And, you know, and unfortunately, we do a lot of support group, and I can't tell you how many times over the last many, many years parents will come and say, well, my son or daughter was in the hospital and they were there for like 3 months and they were great, you know, they came out and they stopped taking their medication and they crashed.
Right. And that's back to, again, the importance of not just the center,
right,
but having a program, again, can be that, almost think of it as a ladder.
Right.
Right. Where at the highest point of the ladder, a client or patient is staying at the hospital or staying in a residential program, and they're being watched 24/7. They're being administered their medication, you know, as prescribed. And a lot of times they do really well with that structure.
Right.
The challenge, and this happens with substance abuse as well, the step down process, though, if it goes from that very high level of care, and just imagine just falling off the ladder to the bottom, there can be some problems, you know, along the way, where programs like ours can safely transition someone to a lower level of care. And again, our job overall is to transition them out of the center to the lowest level of care that they can be safely managed in.
Right.
And we, again, take pride in doing that as well and making sure that the person's questions are answered along the way, because they may not even be knowledgeable. This also, one of the first questions I ask almost everyone I work with, private or at the center, is, have you ever done this before? What has been your last experience in therapy?
Right.
Anything?
Right.
And back to stigma, people also have stigma of the mental health system accessing it. If the first time that you ever accessed it, the therapist was inattentive, you know, or, you know, was not really listening, validating, or the hospital experience was horrifying, are you really going to want to
do it again?
Yeah, you're probably going to say, this is how it is, and I don't want to.
Right. Who exactly
are you? And how are you going to help me when the last person failed miserably?
Yep.
So again, we're always trying to.
And you know, the thing is too, like when they come out of, say, like a hospitalization.
Yeah.
Oh, they feel good. Well, I don't need the medication anymore.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And because they feel so good,
right,
not being cognizant enough to realize that the reason they're feeling good is because the medication they've been on.
Could be a really high correlation with that.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that's so sad, because then they crash and they start all over again. And I can't tell you how many families I know whose loved one have crashed 4, 5, 6 times. And, you know, it's sad. It really is.
One of the things we were trying to really do, again, is that communication piece.
Mm-hmm.
And again, regardless of what the person's experiencing, hopefully the person on the other end is non-judgmentally listening and thinking to themselves, can I help this person? And if not, who can?
Right.
So that way we can kind of bridge these gaps. Again, another benefit of a program like ours is they will be seen for updates, rather than, again, if you went from a higher level of care of the hospital to the lowest level of care of seeing your psychiatrist maybe once every 30 days, maybe, if they have availability, if that's what the plan is, it could be, I'll see you in 2 months.
Right.
Here's refills for 2 months.
Right.
A lot can go wrong in those 2 months. Where they're in the program, you're either being seen by Dr. Singh weekly or every other week.
Right.
So that's a lot of access to the sure. psychiatrist that other levels of care would be at zero, or, you know, every 30, 60, or 90 days.
Okay. Would you briefly explain what cognitive behavioral therapy is? I know what it is, but could for the
yeah.
audience.
Yeah. I mean, for definitely people have a basic understanding of it, as it's one of the most popular therapies that exist.
Right.
I just kind of want to use maybe a short example
sure.
about how it can, the power of it, of our mindset. So let's say I'm kind of feeling down and I really want to, you know, better my life in some way. So I'm going to start applying for jobs, right?
Right.
And let's say I see one that's really great, right? But it's something about it. I start thinking, you know what? I'm not good enough. I'm not going to get it, right? So I really start believing that there's no point in trying, because I know already the result. I'm gonna sit down, and you know, I don't like doing those you know, applications either, where you write where you live 100 times, date right. of birth, where you last live, your references. You go through all that, and I'm like, do I really want to go through all that for them just to throw it away? No, forget about it. So that mindset of the I know my future, right? It's called right. a cognitive distortion. Very, mm-hmm. very popular. People always say, yeah, common sense. I know I can't predict my future, but we do it all the time. We would say, I know, you know, this won't go well for me, so why bother applying for that job? We really want to, if I heard that in session or if someone brought that to the skill group at the center, we really want to break that down for its truth
right.
or evidence.
Right.
And not in a judgmental way, not like a, aha, we got mm-hmm. you, you're right. thinking incorrectly right. way. A more like, if you think that way, how is that getting in your way? So I'm never going to get that job if I never apply for that job. And again, it sounds like common sense, but the feelings and actions connected to it could lead to more depression,
right.
more anxiety, more avoidance, right. more isolation, more giving up. And ultimately, when we find people or they come to the center who are really at the bottom, they're feeling hopeless, right? And if right. we looked at that in a CBT way, that is, nothing will get better for me no matter what I do. By definition, that's the one I use for hopelessness.
Right. Right.
And that's so powerful. If the person believes it, they're really going to be stuck.
Right.
So what CBT can do is kind of loosen that up and make it a more flexible thought.
Right.
But I did also want to point out, not to be, you know, the Grinch of positivity, but sometimes CBT is mistakenly thought, oh, I'm just going to change my negative thought, I'm not going to get the job, to a positive thought, I will get the job. All I got to do is apply. All I got to do is click the send button,
right.
and my future is going to be great. We don't want to also jump too far because they're
right.
actually both, in a CBT way, they're both extreme thoughts.
Right.
I will and I won't
right.
are guarantees of my future.
Right.
So in CBT, we actually want to get more of a balanced reality thought. And again, not every therapy is not for everyone. Like
no,
every
exactly.
level of care is not for
right.
everyone. But sometimes when I say that, because so the correct CBT way of saying is, I may or may not get this job. So therefore, the only way I'll know is if I apply.
Apply. But that's everybody. You know, think about it.
Right.
That's everybody. You may or you may not get it. You know, you're applying for it, whether you have a mental health issue or not.
Right.
You apply for a job. It's not a guarantee
yeah.
to go either way. So you may get it or you may not. But that's...
Yeah, to conclude that you will
right.
not, though.
Yes. No, I agree.
Is really
right.
going to get in the person's
right.
way.
Absolutely.
And they'll also maybe even cite probability and as their evidence, which is, again, another thing that we don't want to do. We just want to do the possibility of
right.
something being true.
Right.
So they'd say, oh, well, I applied to 10 jobs like that in the past. Or more generally, I've failed 10 times in the past. Therefore, I will fail in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And again, another example I use to dispute, it's called, is to really take the thought and make it more flexible, is if I, you know, flipped a quarter 10 times, the chances are always 50-50 that it's heads or tails.
Right.
You can't say, oh, because I got a bad string of tails 10 times, next flip, it's also going to be tails. You have to be open to the flexibility of maybe.
Right.
Maybe this time it'll be heads.
Right.
I won't know till I... you know, flip the quarter.
Exactly.
So that's the power of that CBT can have.
Right.
For some clients, right? They can really start thinking differently about their lives.
All right. Briefly, what is rational emotive behavioral therapy?
So not to be confused with CBT, it is a kind of a type of cognitive behavioral therapy. It is the therapy that I was trained in further at the Albert Ellis Institute.
Okay.
And it can really do some things, if done correctly, that CBT has limitations with. I'll think of a quick example. Something that maybe CBT struggles with answering is the what ifs, which is an anxiety-based kind of thought.
Right.
And if only done with purely CBT, sometimes people would say they'll go back to the probability. Well, what is the probability that that bad thing is going to happen to you? And what the person will probably say in the end of the discussion is low, right? I'll use a phobia, let's say, of driving. They'll say, well, what if I get into an accident, right? And that drives their anxiety about getting into a car.
Right.
So CBT would say sometimes, well, what's the probability? Have you ever gotten into an accident before? Once. Okay, was it bad? No. Did you survive? Yes. Like, so what are the chances that you're going to get into one? It's like relatively low, right? I'm a safe driver. But then you ask them, hey, are you less anxious now about driving? And they may say, no.
No. Yeah.
The reason why in rational emotive behavior therapy is that there's a root belief underneath that what if, where not all of them, but I'll just give an example of one it could be, is something maybe called awfulizing or catastrophizing, saying that if that fear were to come true, my life would be over. It'd be all over. I'd have to, you know, I couldn't, the insurance and the payment and the license and the points, they kind of just take the problem of the car accident and then they would blow it out of proportion. Think about like Chicken Little having the sky fall down because they got hit in the head with an egg corn. It's like, it doesn't feel good. It wouldn't feel good to get into a car accident, but it's probably not going to be the end of your entire existence. Right. So what REBT can do is take sometimes our, and it gets a little philosophical, but it can sometimes take our beliefs about ourselves, others in the world, and modify those so that the thoughts that are almost like a branches of the tree, the roots of the tree, they kind of grow out from that to be different.
Okay.
And again, some people really take to this kind of therapy where they can start changing the way they think about life.
Right.
And the effects it can have on
right.
it, where other people might just want to stick to more basic types of therapy,
right.
which is fine.
Right.
But in particular, I have a lot of passion for this type of therapy. So it can be really interesting in some examples of how people are thinking one way when I first start, you know, working with them. And then down the line, they look back and they're like, I can't even imagine I was thinking another
right.
way.
Right.
And all these... the therapies I've been describing, one of their benefits is that they really can be done without the assistance of medication, where some people who have maybe the stigma or have
right.
bad experiences or don't have access to medication, it's not, again, back to hopelessness where, well, I can't see a psychiatrist
right.
for 90 days, so I just got to wait it out.
Right.
You know, there's other things you can do therapy-wise that can help you, and that's why the center also offers you know, not just medication management, but group
right.
and
right.
individual therapy.
Yeah. We have to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple seconds.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterton-chamber.org. The Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're privileged today to have with us Travis Manrique. Did I say it right? Probably no, the way you
That's
look.
That's fine.
how is it said?
Manrique.
Manrique. Yeah. I keep forgetting the A at the end there.
That's all right.
Manrique. Manrique. Okay. We were talking about cognitive behavioral therapy
yep.
and rational emotional therapy. Now, these skills, can they help someone who's struggling with like depression and anger, anxiety, guilt, shame, jealousy?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to maybe expand on that about how maybe it could help something with guilt, right? So again, one of the concepts that's, we talked about the difference between maybe positive thinking and realistic, rational mm-hmm. thinking, is again the concept that's sometimes misinterpreted about self-esteem. That's a word that we throw out as much as, if not more, than I'm feeling depressed or I'm feeling anxious. People would say, I have a low self-esteem, low sense of self. And if you really look at that in a CBT and REBT way, the belief system there is that in order to be worthy, you have to accomplish, and you have to accomplish the right way. So almost think of yourself then as like a balloon, right? So that if you do well, or if people say you do well or accomplish, mm-hmm. then your self-esteem increases,
right?
Almost like the popular kid in school,
right?
Their self-esteem in that way is increasing. But it never ends, though. You'll always have to achieve more and more and more. And it really ties in, not to go on a tangent, but like sometimes our culture of acquiring things, right? But what can happen usually is that then, if you're using that philosophy, then our self-esteem then fluctuates if
okay.
we fail, right? Or if other people deem us as failing or failures. So if we want to look about the feeling word really connected to self-esteem fluctuation, it's mostly guilt and shame. And if we tie that back into mental health stigma, right? If people deem your mental health symptoms as less than or as an example of your failure, you're most likely going to feel really guilty, beating up yourself, but also shameful, wanting to hide away. And that's exactly what you were saying earlier, whether or not a person will even outreach, not even a provider, a family member, a friend saying, I'm feeling this way, will be low. So again, what CBT can do for when people are feeling guilty and shameful is to, and it's going to sound a little bit, again, philosophical, but you actually don't want to think in a self-esteem way. You want to think in a self-acceptance or acknowledgement way to say, I am currently existing with these traits, problems, habits, whatever, however you want to identify them
mm-hmm.
with. Mm-hmm. And you, again, the main thing is that you don't have to like what's going on. Because again, people, I think, misunderstand that when I tell them, can you accept your mental health symptoms? People say, no, I can't accept it. They mean,
I don't want to accept it.
I don't want light. I don't want to like it.
Right.
And acknowledgement allows you to say, I don't like it,
right,
but I want to change it. And what happens then, and again, this is the sometimes limitations of the theory, but people will say, well, you're just changing a word, right? So now that I'm changing self-esteem to self-acceptance, I'm now changing your feeling to not guilt and shame, but maybe that of regret. Like, well, maybe there's something about me that maybe I could have done better in the right. past, but I did not. But I'm going to seek help to change today. Right?
Right.
So when you change that way of thinking, you do then change your way of feeling to a more regret. And that regret can sometimes power, channel you to change. And that's something called the healthy negative that we talk a lot about at the center. I talk a lot about in my sessions.
Right.
And again, the healthy negative is an emotion that you can experience that does not always feel good, but it gets you further along than
okay.
a unhealthy negative like depression or anxiety. So another one that gets a bad rap besides regret is sadness. Some people are like terrified to be sad. They're not. They don't allow themselves to be sad or cry
right.
or have an emotional experience.
Right.
When you actually think in the healthy negative way, like it's okay to be sad. What am I sad about? What can I come to terms with? What happened? Then you can start moving on. Right. So, I mean, I think maybe I'm biased again because I'm very passionate about it, but I definitely think CBT and RBT can help people with those variety of feelings.
Okay. All right, Travis, I got to ask, do you use any of these skills yourself?
Definitely. I mean, pretty much every day, in particularly the RBT skills, since I did my training about 5 years ago, what one thing, not to plug the Albert Ellis Institute, but one thing that they do is that you practice as a therapist on yourself with other clinicians. So you bring your problems to the therapy session and you use the skills that you're being taught on yourself. And you actually use it, the skills on other therapists as well. So again, it really takes away the stigma again that therapists cannot have mental health symptoms. Right.
Okay.
In again, a very maybe philosophical way that we're all human and that we all experience these things in some way or another, maybe frequency or intensity differs, but we are all kind of in this together. So for sure, I definitely practice the skills on myself.
We have about 3.5 minutes left. So what do you think the limitations of thinking positively is?
Well, we did talk about that.
Right.
So we'll tie it in maybe to seeking help. I always say there's no guarantees in mental health. And maybe that's what you were talking about with finding the right medication for your son.
Right.
And that's the really frustrating process. I really wish it was a brain scan or a pill to take or a word to say that all your symptoms will just vanish. But it's really, in my opinion, not like that.
No.
So to say, this is the therapy for me. Wow, I really liked what I heard today. So I'm going to, you know, practice it or learn all about it or you know, I'm going to learn CBT and it's going to change all my symptoms. Maybe, but there's
it might not also.
It might not. So positivity, again, not to, you know, kind of beat it up, but more have the what if, like maybe this can help me.
Right.
So the only way to know is by seeking mental health professionals out, getting their opinion, getting their recommendations for you
right.
and trying it.
No, I agree 100%. You know, whatever works is good.
I agree.
It doesn't always work for everyone.
Right.
And, well, it's like anything else. You may be able to take aspirin and I can't,
yeah.
you know, or vice versa. You know, so the medication that a doctor prescribes for you may just have more side effects than I can handle.
Exactly.
You know, I remember when they gave my son one medication, and my son is not that big. He's like 5'7".
Mm.
And he gained like 50 pounds. And it's like, wow. You know, my God, you know, really?
Yeah, but
so he wouldn't take it anymore.
Right. You know? Yeah, of course.
And you figure a young woman, you know, either a teenage girl or, you know, young lady in her 20s, gained 50 pounds or 60 pounds. She's not going to take it either.
Yeah, you know? Probably not.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. All right. If someone wanted to reach out for more info,
mm-hmm.
you have a phone number there.
Yeah, yeah. The two major ways. First, obviously, you can give us a call. Again, we are the Center for Wellness in Monroe Township. It's at 732-655-4239. Monday through Friday, if you call, we'll definitely be there, hopefully, to pick up the phone. If not, you can leave us a brief message. Right. And that's, again, one of the advantages of the center is we will call you back same day.
Okay.
Regardless of whether or not it's a fit or just a question mm-hmm. you have.
Right, right.
Or you can go to the Center for Wellness website. It's centerforwellnessnj.com, and it has more information, obviously the phone number there. And there's a cool feature where you can kind of send us a quick email, just the questions we get sometimes. Do you take this insurance? Can you tell me again what right. you might offer? And again, I check that while I get live updates on my phone. So we'll most likely respond to you within the hour. If you guys want to reach out, then feel free.
That's great. And the phone number again is 732-655-4239.
That's right.
I wrote it down when you were saying it. That's why you don't think I remembered that, do you? I don't know. And just give the website one more time.
Yes. It's centerforwellnessnj.com.
Travis, I can't thank you enough for coming.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. And I will definitely have you back again.
Okay. Wow, thank you very much.
All right. And you can bring Dr. Singh if you want back next
time.
Yeah,
we'll see if he has that in his busy schedule.
Yeah, right. All right. Thank you, Travis.
Thank
Appreciate it.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on 100 in Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint cents, business including for over 40 years, from junior collector to the experienced investor. Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge.